Great. So before I start, I'm going to read Psalm 23 before I continue, just to, so you can kind of see what it is. So Psalm 23 reads, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So yes, thank you, Stuart, for introducing me. My name is Chris. I am 20 years old, and I work at the church up the road called Christ the Redeemer. I'm really excited to be here this morning, and I'm really excited to tell you a bit about this psalm and a bit why it means so much to me. But before I start, a bit about me is I grew up in Zambia. I grew up there until I was 16 years old. My family have been in Zambia since 1863 and originally arrived as missionary doctors there to look for a cure for malaria. So I've got quite a big family line there, and that's something I carry with me wherever I go, of kind of the amount of stuff that they've been doing for the Lord back in Zambia. At 16, I made a bit of a bold decision. As a family, we decided that I was going to leave the home. I was going to leave the nest. And I was going to move to England by myself. I was going to go to Bristol, and I was going to complete my compulsory education in sixth form there. So I packed up a suitcase, and I got onto this plane, first time I've ever gone on a plane by myself, and arrived in England. So this was an interesting decision. I got onto this plane with loads of excitement. I was like, yes, a new journey. Something exciting is happening. I'm going to change the world. I'm going to be the most amazing person that ever will be. I'm going to smash A-levels. I'm going to do really well. And then I landed, and it was terrifying. I've never been in an airport so big before. I got off the plane, and there were thousands of people. They went, oh, just you can go and collect your luggage now. How many carousels are there? I'm used to there being one. I arrived and I was already stunned by the sheer size of this world. And I had realized the world that I'd grown up in was quite small. I began to drown. I arrived in my auntie and uncle's house that I lived with them for 2 years and went to sixth form and I began to panic. I didn't really understand what was going on. These big decisions I had to make of how am I going to do A-levels well? How am I going to make friends? How will people like me? Will people understand me? Do they know what I'm like? Do they know what people from another country are like? What does this mean? How does this work? And it became so overwhelming that even the small decisions became hard to make. Decisions like what cereal do I have in the morning or what do I wear became overwhelming. I found myself drowning. At this time as well, my faith before I left home was strong because I had my parents constantly guiding me, being like, you can do this. God's got you. God's confident. God's going to walk this with you. But as soon as I didn't have that reassurance anymore, everything became weak. I stopped going to church. I stopped praying. I stopped listening to God because it's not something that I felt passionate about anymore. The faith I had was my parents' faith, not my own. So eventually, after about 2 months of this flailing around and running around and panicking, I decided, right, what I need to do is I need to go back to church. So I found a church in the center of Bristol. It was a Vineyard church, and I met a couple there that day who were then going to be the guiding influences of my godly walk when I was in Bristol. They turned around to me and said, Chris, I think the one thing you need to hear today is Psalm 23. Nothing else. I said, we want you to go read this. We're going to pray for you, and they sent me home. And they said, go and read Psalm 23. So I'm going to read it again. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Suddenly there was hope. I was reminded that actually this journey I was on wasn't all that bad. That maybe, yes, it was difficult, and maybe, yes, it felt like I was drowning, but I wasn't alone in this situation. I had hope. I started to remember all the promises that God had fulfilled already in my life of moving to a country and feeling excited about the journey ahead of me, that actually this daunting, fearful, totally overwhelming situation became a bit more manageable. I started to get a grip again, stopped panicking. I was like, okay, I can do this. So I spent 3 months just mulling over this passage, looking at what does this mean? What does each part of this mean? And I just felt peace every time I read it. So I thought today when Stuart asked me to share about what this means to me, to tell you the three things I learned from reading this passage for 3 months. And I thought I'd tell you a bit about what they meant to me. So number one, the first thing I learned after all this panic and all this confusion, the workings of God might not always be clear, but if you keep pursuing him, he will keep you on the path he wants you to be on. I hated it. I hated that feeling of feeling like I'm drowning, feeling like I just don't have control. And my 16-year-old self was crying out, being like, why can't you help me? God, why can't you solve this? Why can't you just make it easy for me? I'm only 16. I don't have to go through these things anymore. It's not like any normal 16-year-old. Everyone else is happy. Why me? Why do I have to suffer? That only became apparent when I moved to Barnwell. And my heart broke for a community of people who are crying out for God too. If I didn't go through what I went through, I wouldn't understand how to speak as I do now. That the lesson I was taught back when I was 16 was a lesson I'd be able to equip me for the future. That journey was not wasted. That pain will be used to speak life into other people's lives. Number two, God offers to restore us when things get hard. The reality is that life is not easy. And I'm sorry if someone told you that life was going to be easy. It's just not the case. Things are going to come in your way. Things are going to stop you. Things are going to throw you over. And you're going to be totally baffled by what's going on. But God offers to restore us when things get hard. As it says in the passage, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. These are all images of peace. The lying down in green pastures is the significance of a cool, comfortable place to rest. The quiet waters is the stilling of the chaos that can be going around you. That God says, I know it seems mad, and I know it seems ridiculous, but you have to trust me that this isn't going to be this forever. Another bit of it says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I shall fear no evil. That it might feel like you're at the end of your tether, there's no other way to turn, you're totally lost. God says, you shall fear no evil. So when you combine point one and point two, you walk with him, he keeps you on his path that he has for you. And when you're walking on the path he has for you, he promises to restore you when things get hard. So number three, God's offer does not run out. As we see here, there's the imagery of an overflowing cup. There might be multiple times where things get hard. There might be multiple times where things get easy. But that offer doesn't have a time limit. It doesn't just stop after the first time. I love the image here of you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Such a baffling image, I find. Can you imagine being in the middle of a World War II zone, and this man sitting there going, right, everyone, I know there's bombs dropping, but come sit down, come have a meal. Come be refueled. Come be equipped. Come listen. Come restore yourself. And once that's happened, he goes, right, stand up. You are ready. You are mighty. You are strong. Time to go back into the field again. So 3 points. One, the workings of God might not always be clear, but if you stay close to him, he will keep you on the path he wants you to be on. Number two, God offers to restore us when things get hard. And number three, God's offer doesn't run out, doesn't have a time limit. So as I draw what I'm speaking about to an end, I want to leave you with a bit of a challenge. I want to leave you with a bit of a thing that I felt challenged on when I was reading this. The challenge of when things get hard, when you have to make those really niggly, horrible decisions that you just push off as far as you can, who is it you turn to? Maybe it's the internet. Do you Google it? Do you search through the web waiting for an answer to pop up? Is it your wife? Is it your children? Where do you turn to? Because I'd like to point out that those things are okay to look into, to get answers from, but they're not going to give you the answer that you're looking for. That when we turn to God, he instills those three things that I talked about. When we look to him for an answer, and we say, please show me what you want. That is when God draws near, because God wants to be in relation with you. So that is my thought for Psalm 23 for today. Thank you very much.